Hello, this is Do Go On. I'm Matt Stewart.
And I'm Taran Jayamana.
And we're in Sydney. And we're about to be in Brisbane. And we're doing live shows. They're called Dryer Dryer. And also, Who Knew with Matt Stewart in both those cities. And you can get details at mattstewartcomedy.com. Anything else you want to tell the good listeners at Do Go On, Taran?
Well, the whole point of this was you thought that it might be more engaging if you had a different voice. But you've said most of the information. So, hey, come see us in Sydney and Brisbane.
Yeah, that was engaging.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Upload video content, organize your video library, and showcase your content on beautiful video pages. You can even sell access to your video library by adding a paywall to your content. Cha-ching.
You can help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI, which I use to write this next sentence, so check this out. Generate instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get short or long-form text. Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online.
Oh, Dave, if only it could also not just write it, but read it too.
And edit it.
Hey, sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses. Or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. Man, it's starting to sound like I'm obsessed with money.
And you are. So head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hello and welcome to Do Go On. You can hear Jess Perkins. So this episode is going to be very funny because she's already laughing before we've even said anything. My name is Dave Warnocky. Did I say it's called Do Go On? I hope I did. You've already heard Jess's laugh. I'm here with her. Hello, Jess.
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Very depressed.
Trying to convince yourself to have a good time.
Yeah.
For laughing. And we're also joined by, not laughing so much, a bit of a tough cookie to crack. It's Matt Stewart.
Look, to be honest, we're in a serious business here. And the business is podcasting.
That's right. And we're all very rich.
Yeah.
There's a lot at stake.
Yeah.
My word, there is.
Oh, you must.
I just had a can of pumpkin soup for dinner. That's how well I'm doing.
And some very buttery toast.
Oh, man, I've been craving butter all day. So before the pod, I bought a can of soup, bought a loaf of bread, bought a packet of butter and put half that packet onto two pieces of toast.
It was confronting to watch, but also like strangely satisfying. Mm. And then after soup, I always feel like a bit of a dessert kind
That's
of
right.
treat. Did you have a little treat, Dave?
A little $2... supermarket chocolate mousse.
All right.
Which is as delicious as it sounds.
I noticed you didn't bring any for us, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
There is an extra one. Do you guys want food? There is an extra one in the fridge if you want to fight over it.
I kind of just assumed you didn't get us one because you know we're both adults. And,
well, yes. He
is the youngest here.
Thank you.
Just to paint a little picture for our listeners, little Davey Warnocky's still got mousse all over his face.
It's all around my mouth. Saving that for later.
You had a good time.
I could never finish a whole mousse at once, but I'm not going to put it back in the fridge. I'll just leave it on my face.
That's a good way to do it.
It's my style of eating. But how are you guys? What have you had for dinner? Let's go around the table.
I have not had dinner.
Okay.
So there we go. Who's the adult now?
That's even less successful than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But very adult.
And I had a frozen pizza that I put in the oven.
Oh, cooking in a way.
Yeah, in a way, because I got home and had to finish this report and was like, I need something that I don't have to tend to while it cooks.
Well, let me ask you one question.
Mm.
that pizza. What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor. What's your flavor? Remember that song, Matt?
Yeah, Craig David.
Is it Craig David?
From his unsuccessful follow-up album after his smash hit that included
Walking Away.
Yeah.
Seven Days.
Which one's Seven Days?
Some
Monday.
Took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We chill on Sunday. You gotta have a rest day.
Thanks, Craig.
Can't be banging every day.
Craig's a pretty good name.
Craig.
Remember last week you had an issue with King Stephen. What about King Craig?
Yuck.
Oh, I couldn't be a King Craig.
Also, Americans would say Craig. King Craig.
You know King Craig? You know how that album that we're talking about is like 15 years ago? He's only like 33 or something now. He was really young.
He was a wonder kind.
He really was.
Was he really young?
When he was walking away. He was walking away in nappies.
He was a walking away protege.
Troubles in my life.
I thought you were the rhymer on the show.
What kind of troubles did he have then?
Oh, come on. Sounds laughter for the walking away protege. Well, I just about give up, to be honest.
Matt, you didn't let it breathe. You said, walk away protege. I am the best. But you can't finish the joke.
I mean, am I wrong?
Walk away protege. Shoo it.
Start your own chant. Matt, I didn't even hear what you said because you're suddenly chanting.
I am the best. Can we just say that after every joke today? I am the best.
I feel I'm going to be saying that after a few of mine bomb, as they often do.
Well, I appreciate that you guys thought it was a joke anyway. I mean, really all I did was rhyme a couple of vaguely related
words. Not even.
Words.
We need to work on rhyming with you.
Protege walking away. I stand by it.
Yeah, all right.
Well,
bad.
This has been a rock solid start.
Well, we don't usually talk this much about chocolate mousse or Craig David.
We should talk about both of those things more.
What we usually do is let one of us take over and do a report. God, I hope it's about Craig David.
Oh, that'd be great. What a segue.
Jess, it is your turn to do a report this week.
It is my turn, and I have delved into the hat.
Yes.
Matt took off the hat momentarily. You jumped in there, grabbed a topic at random.
You got to be quick.
Man, I love the hat so much.
Yeah. The hat's pretty great, and it's fun to choose them. You know, you're sort of like, oh, am I going to do that? Oh, what am I going to do?
Did you hand pick or random pick out of the hat?
I had a look at a couple, and then I did a really quick Google search of this one because I hadn't heard of it. And, like, within a few seconds, I was like, oh, yeah, we're doing this.
This is it? Oh, yeah. I like that. That means that it's from the get-go, it's a good.
That said, it's a darker topic. And you guys are really going to have to lift your comedic game to make this, to make our listeners not feel very sad at the end.
Oh, God.
Challenge not accepted.
Oh, great. Oh, you're right. I'm the funny one.
That's right.
Shit.
How's this going to work?
It's all right. I've written jokes in this.
I'll see if I can put some rhymes together.
Yeah, okay, great.
Does the end of every paragraph just have pause for laughter written at the end of your report?
Hold for applause.
Hold for applause.
Sorry, hold for applause.
And 3, 4, second bow now.
Anyway,
please do go on to start your report, which I assume you have a question.
I do.
Not
have...
breaking protocol 36 weeks in.
No, never. I do have a question, and
does it relate to the topic?
Nah. It's just, what's your favourite colour? Well,
that would break protocol.
Green.
Okay.
Blue.
I'm a blue as well.
No.
Yes.
You guys always gang up on me. Although you can't make green without blue, so suck a dick.
But to yourself.
You can't make
what green a weird. I don't fully get why that is like a mean thing to say.
Suck a dick.
More than half of the world enjoy doing that. I would if I could. Oh, hang on.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Alright.
So, look,
well, Matt's on one.
So my question...
Dark topic.
My question is, who was America's original serial killer?
I'm just thinking of that Bad Offspring song, Original Prankster.
Yeah, this is what it is.
Originals. Like, original serial killer.
Original, all right. Original serial...
Well, that's,
look,
that's
I can't
think favorite.
I had never heard of it.
The guy with the...
Jack the Ripper, but that's English.
That's English.
The guy, only Charles Manson?
That was much, much later.
More of a mass murderer.
Earlier than Charles Manson.
Yeah, we're talking like 1800s.
Adnan Syed, allegedly. Oh, no, he's been convicted.
And that wasn't
that was
serial.
Just one murder.
Oh, that was serial.
Oh,
but not serial.
I didn't ever get my own joke there. Can we call that one a joke?
Yeah.
Two jokes.
Two jokes and one embarrassing.
Oh, well, it's embarrassing. That's an interesting comment, you homophobe.
No, the one where you said you wish you were able to suck, like you're not able to.
All right, good.
There's nothing homophobic about what I'm saying.
Dave is backpedaling pretty briskly over there.
Much like a homophobe would.
It is a little weird that he's on an exercise bike in the studio.
But you got to make time for these things.
Yeah. That's right. I'm multitasking.
I'm on a yoga ball.
Nothing.
Sans laughter.
I am the best.
What is happening today?
Okay.
All right, back to serial killers. Serial killers. All right, serial killers.
Look, I had never heard of him.
Okay.
Is this someone who, I remember vaguely, had like a hotel where they killed people?
Yes.
Oh.
Correct.
But I know no other details. I think it might have been like a Ripley's Believe It or Nuts type thing. That's how it, that like a little fact about someone who allegedly killed a lot of people.
Yeah, that is absolutely bang on.
Oh my well goodness.
Well done. Now, this was suggested to us by Cody Clark.
Cody Clark, you morbid bastard.
At CodyC095 on Twitter.
Also, what's the Twitter?
At CodyC095. Cody, if you were born in 95, that's my guess. Anyway.
If you are, that's my guess. If you're not...
if you're 95 years old, congratulations on being good at Twitter.
I saw someone driving around and their number plate was like GS or two initials and then it said 1924.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, no, it said it was earlier than that. It was like 19... like 20 or something. So it was very similar to 24, but 4 years older. And then I looked at the person in the car and they were definitely that old enough.
Oh, wow, okay, to claim. Yeah, cool.
So... 96-year-old driver.
Jeez, Louise, don't do that every day, do you?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Wish you did.
Nah, take their licenses away, I reckon.
Wow. So, thank you to Cody for the suggestion, of course. But so it is as morbid as it sounds, a serial killer.
Yeah. It's fascinating, but really sick and twisted as well. And what's kind of interesting is that there is a lot of information and there also isn't a lot of information about this person, right? So...
All right. Well, one of those things is not true.
No. But you know what I mean? Like, there's...
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, like, there's still a lot of questions. There's a lot of points in this where you're going to ask me a question and I'm going to go, I don't know.
What's his favourite colour?
Blood.
Black. Oh, I would say...
That's definitely not a colour.
Oh, come on.
Blood red?
Just give me that one.
Okay.
Come on.
What about, I feel like that maybe you're just covering your tracks for...
Lack of research? Doing,
yeah. Enough research.
Look, that could
be as
well. I don't
know. No one knows what this guy's name was.
Okay. Well, that's not true. But what I mean, and you'll understand as we go along, but there's so many points where you're like, why did nobody twig? How did this happen?
Their first serial killer. And they're as a country, what are they, like 400 years old?
So he's listed as one of the first sort of serial killers in the modern understanding of the word serial killer.
So it was a highly publicized that kind of definition,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly right. So I'll tell you a little bit about it. So his name...
Oh, will there be a body count on this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool, because man, we've done that for King Tut and for Bonnie and Clyde now.
Okay, yeah, sure.
The trilogy of body counts.
All right, you can body count, so that's fun. His name was H.H. Holmes... Okay.
Triple H.
But he was actually born
as wrestler.
Herman Webster Mudgett.
Whoa. I think I get the change of name.
Are you Mudgett? Thinking?
Although I'm wondering why...
Don't point that pen in my
what
face.
What is it? Herman? Herman.
You pronounce H-H.
Did I? H? H-H.
Oh, no. Nah, fair enough. That's fine. Look, I've got no problems with that. I just... We'll take it. Every now and then I'd like to take the opportunity to feel superior to you. And, yeah, that.
Well, I'll be sure to let you speak.
I'd like to know the name again. Herman?
Herman Webster Mudgett.
And are you saying
there's a single H there.
Was this one of the times where someone should have twigged when they named someone that? They thought, oh, fuck, he's going to be a killer.
Okay. Well, now I feel like you're just taking the piss. All right? Lots of people died, Dave.
Oh, no, I have a 200-year-old serial killer. He's the real victim here.
No.
Too soon.
And what year was too soon?
He was born on the 16th of May in 1861, okay, in New Hampshire. Mm. 1861 he was born. Now, his parents were Levi Horton Mudgett and Theodate Page Price.
Theta, three cracking names.
Great names.
Can you just repeat those because they're so good?
Levi. These people never really come back into the story. But these Levi,
people definitely didn't exist.
Levi and Theodate.
Yeah, you're... This is feeling very made up so far.
I made this whole thing up.
I've never... See, Levi, obviously, I'm guessing Levi Strauss, Theodate. But Theodate.
I'm guessing that's how you say it.
And that's a woman.
Theodate. Yeah. So he was the third child. So he had an older sister named Ellen, an older brother named Arthur, and he had a younger brother named Henry. So they've all got fairly normal names. Herman. Now, his father was a farmer from a farming family.
What did he farm?
First question. No one knows! Did you not hear the start?
I don't know. Wheat and pigs. Both of them.
What a combo.
Yeah, it's a great combo.
Great combo.
How much land did he have?
A couple of acres. A couple of hundred acres.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
What could he have made? He could have, using his produce, Dave, what could he have put together?
Bacon, bread.
Great.
I'm really happy to eat bacon bread.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong. Buddy, not wrong. But
he was a bacon bread farmer. And his parents were devout Methodists. Now, apparently as well, his father was a violent alcoholic.
Oh, really?
Okay, so a bit of a troubling childhood, as they always do.
I was thinking a lot of Levi, but then...
Just for the genes?
The serial killer, they often do, like you say, have bad upbringings, don't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'd think so, yeah. But apparently he was very good at school. He excelled at school. He was a really smart child. But then he got sort of bullied by jealous classmates because he was smart and because he excelled at school. So in an attempt to scare him, the bullies found out that he was scared of the doctors. He was scared of going to the doctor. So they forced him.
They booked him an appointment. Oh, no! 1 p.m. Dr. Schultz.
Check-up. No! Oh, my kryptonite.
They bought him private health insurance.
Oh, I'll be there forever.
With regular checkups. No.
Right, I'm glad you guys are finding this funny.
You told us
to try. I did. Thank you.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies.
Oh, man. I'm hoping these bullies pay. But anyway.
Anyway.
So, what did they do to
him? For the doctors. I think they will.
They broke into the doctor's office and they made him stand face to face with one of the human skeletons. Like one of the display ones. You know, when you have a human on display. You know what I mean though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
One of those skeletons. So they made him stand face to face with that.
A human one. Not one of the pig skeletons he's used to back home.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been fine with that.
And they even, like, they placed the skeleton hands on his face and, like, creeped him out. But
I'm starting to think he's got less of a fear of doctors and more a fear of skeletons.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that didn't help. And if he said, he later admitted that was very frightening at first, but then he sort of found the experience really fascinating. And he said that cured him of his fears. And he soon became obsessed with death and later started a hobby of dissecting animals.
Ooh. Whoa. So he's gone from one extreme to the other.
Yeah. It's like it's fascinated him
pretty
now.
Pretty quick.
Like, yeah.
No, actually.
It'd be pretty disappointing.
And then he grabbed the skeleton hand and slowly pushed it down his body, just down his stomach, slowly down. And down to his belly button, keep going down, lower and lower. Oh, no, no, no. And then he loosen his belt a little, down and you know, et cetera, et cetera.
I've got to say, it's a pretty disappointing time for a bully when you're like, yeah, and they're shitting themselves. And then 5 minutes in, they're like, oh, I love this.
They're making out with the skeleton.
They're like, they mounted the skeleton. Like, let's get out of here.
Now the bullies are scared.
Yeah. Oh, Herman's crazy.
The name like Herman. Sorry, any Hermans out there. Now, at the early age of 16, he graduated from high school and took teaching jobs in and around the area that he lived in New Hampshire. And on
what sort of like tutoring style things?
Well, it says took teaching jobs, so I think like a teacher in a school.
Wow.
Dave.
That was fast.
As far as asking questions about an interesting point. You were way off the mark there. Oh, tell me more about these.
What was he teaching?
Was it
piano?
Yeah. Well, that would have been
murder?
An interesting question. What it like? What is he like tutoring or like what? Or was he just teaching in a classroom?
Did he have a textbook?
Fucking hell.
Probably.
Is he a member of the teachers' credit union?
I don't know, Dave. Fucking hell.
Stop bogging Jess down with the bullshit, man.
Okay.
All right. I don't want to have to warn you again.
Guys?
Teachers, tweet in if you want us to talk more about your profession.
Now, on July 4th in 1878. So he was born in, what, 61? So he's like 17. He married Clara Lovering in Alton. They got married.
Great name again.
Clara.
Lovering.
Lovering is a pretty good name.
Love, is it like, is it spelled Lovering?
Lovering.
But is it...
Great, really good. Good, good banter, you guys.
Lovering, right.
Lovering, what's your question?
Because it's spelled Lovering, like L-O-V-E-R-I-N-G.
Yes, Lovering.
That's a great name. Hey, if I had to pick a wife...
Look, I don't think we've spent enough time on this.
Would you say Lovering or Lovering?
One question. Was she also a teacher, and what was she teaching?
I hate you. So they got married, and then they had a son.
No, born to be a teacher.
In 1880, right?
Oh, so he... Ooh, so this, imagine... So
a little bit later.
You've got a dad.
Yeah, imagine that. Is,
I mean, like, imagine. But then also, on top of that, he kills... People okay, well, for he a
doesn't.
Living.
He doesn't yet. Shut up. Job? He's a teacher.
Okay, sorry. I see teachers
teacher.
People
for a living.
Sorry, teaches people
that's
for
fine.
A living.
That's fine. There's no shame in your
same
dad being
body
a teacher.
Difference.
Kills their souls.
My dad's a teacher.
So is mine.
And I'm very proud of him. On your dad.
We haven't discussed dad's names. What's your dad's name?
Paul.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't have picked that at all.
What Paul. Would you have guessed?
Oh, Paul.
What would you have guessed?
What would you have guessed?
Oh, the man I've never met is more of a Gavin to me.
I would have said like a David.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, what's your
put,
dad's
I
name?
I put David and Paul in the same word.
All right, both have a crack at my dad's name.
Your dad's name. Oh, fuck. I think I know this too, actually.
Gary.
No.
No, I've got an uncle called Gary.
A Warnicky.
I feel like you've said this kind of recently and I should know it.
Jules.
As soon as you say it, I'm going to know it.
Jules Warnicky.
Give us the first letter.
Greg.
M.
Martin.
Malcolm.
Martin is
yeah,
correct.
You have said it.
Martin Warnicky.
All right, have a go at mine.
He's a fuckhead. You see, I purposely
oh,
misunderstood what you said.
There we go.
For humour. Now we're all having fun.
Close.
Jim Perkins.
Not close, but yeah.
John. Kim.
John, bang. Oh.
John
go.
Perkins. Fuck,
you guys are good at this, aren't
yeah. But I would never have guessed Paul. Well played. Anyway, so now we've talked about our dad's names.
Well played, grandparents.
Now, at the age of 18, so this is before his son was born, so just shortly after getting married, he enrolled in the University of Vermont.
Hey, before you go on, text in your dad's names.
1-800-DAD.
Actually, yes, please do. Hashtag dad. Hashtag
no, is he,
dad's is he... name. Hashtag.
Jeez, you used to be really good at the hashtags. You've got there. Horrible.
Hashtag dad's my dad's name is. There we go. There it is.
Very clever. I love the multiple meanings that you normally do.
Text in hashtag. No, let's solidify that. My dad's name is. No apostrophe. We'll forgive you.
Yeah, great.
You'll rule the hashtag.
Okay, can I move on, please? Please.
Last week was our loose episode, but this week... It's fucking crazy.
100% gold. I regret nothing I've mean. Said so far.
So far.
This is our jumping the shark episode.
Okay.
Jumping the dad.
There it is. Hashtag jumping the dad.
Yep. All right. Happy with that.
Okay. So when he was 18, he enrolls in university, but he's not that happy with the school, so he left.
Because he was like, I'm already a teacher. Why am I here?
I don't need university. So he left after a year, and then a couple of years later, in 1882, he entered the University of Michigan's Department of Medicine and Surgery and graduated in June 84 after passing his examination. So he's a doctor. And also, he only studied for 2 years and he's a doctor.
2 short years, wow.
Yeah. So he's
That's you don't realise that, but back in the 1800s, being a doctor was one of the least respected jobs.
What was the most?
Most respected job?
Mm-hmm.
Rat catcher.
Rat catcher. Yeah, you actually had to do a 7-year course to become a rat catcher.
I've only got 1 year left.
Then I can catch all the rats.
I've always dreamed of having 17 rats.
Then they'll respect me.
I'll show them all.
But imagine,
I'll show them
imagine
all.
Imagine if he had 16 rats and then he accidentally caught 2. And he's like, no! You'd have to kill one of them.
I'll have to kill them all and start again. You know, they know the rules.
Oh,
Oh, you might as well hit skip on your on the iPod. It's a minute of just lovely.
The one that made me laugh so hard. They know the rules. Because the rats were like, nah, fair enough.
No. Fair enough. Chop our heads off.
I think you, Jess's laugh broke the
broke the internet.
Kim Kardashian's ass and Jess's laugh. Oh boy.
Sorry.
No, it's funny. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be a good one.
Remember how we're like, we're not gonna fuck around in this one.
Oh dear. Oh, what has happened to us?
I was gonna throw up. You know what? Like, we're listening back, it won't even be that funny.
Oh, I think it might be. Especially when you hear yourself laughing for a minute. I think you'll laugh.
We know the rules. It's just, you can picture the little head rat pulls off his little hat and he sort of holds his chest.
Yeah.
It's been an honour being in the sack with you, Governor.
Yeah.
Shall we do it? We'll, no, do it. Don't take your time.
Come on.
Here let us have it.
Throw us in the lake.
We knew the deal when we got into this caper. And this sack.
Rat sack.
How do we get to rat sacks?
Rat catcher. Rat catcher.
Right. A noble profession, of course. That's how we got here.
Anyway.
So he was a doctor.
He's a doctor.
H.H. Holmes.
Now... While enrolled in medical school, he stole cadavers from the lab.
Oh God!
He disfigured the bodies, and claimed that the victims were killed accidentally in order to collect insurance money from policies he took out on each of the deceased people.
But weren't they like, he's already dead?
Yeah, but he would take out an insurance policy. This is what I mean when I say there's questions.
I suppose that records are obviously a lot less well kept.
Yeah.
So he would just...
So he'd take out a life insurance policy.
And then would he just drive into the place with the body and be like, look, another one.
I don't know. I don't understand how he got away with it, but it worked. So he would just claim insurance money on these bodies. He would disfigure them so it looked like they'd had some horrible accident.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when he got to them, maybe they weren't officially dead yet. I mean, he's the doctor. Maybe they've come in sick.
No, they're already cadavers.
But is that the...
Cadavers.
It's like med...
Great word.
It is a good word.
It's like a med school. Is that what you were saying? Though?
Yeah,
from
yeah.
the university or whatever.
Right, yeah, okay.
So they like donated their body to science. So they're dead.
Well, that's very confusing.
It's so confusing.
Maybe he drew a mustache on them and said they were
their
twins.
Somebody else? Yeah. I don't know. That's what I mean when I say
well, there was a
questions.
Mix-up. You thought they were dead, but they were actually alive, but now they're dead again.
Yeah.
Can I have the money?
Please.
Because for some reason, me, a stranger to them,
I know.
Took out insurance.
That's what I mean. It's so strange.
And this, you're gathering, you did this a few times.
A couple of times, yeah. Wow. It worked. And so this is like the beginning of Captain Crazy.
So he shall now be known.
Captain Crazy. Now, weirdly, his marriage to Clara quickly fell apart. Which is strange, isn't it?
Really?
Because he seems like a really balanced person.
Yeah,
just after he ripped her throat out while she slept.
No, luckily she lived. So he eventually abandoned his wife and son, and he spent the next couple of years working various jobs and continuing with his scams. He kind of moved around the country a little bit, which was very strange. He moved
doing these like sort of dodgy sort of things.
Yeah,
you think?
Yeah, and he moved to New York, and a rumor began spreading that Holmes was seen with a little boy who later disappeared, and he claimed that the boy went back to his home in Massachusetts, but no investigation took place, and he sort of left town. So
wow, this is like quite a dodgy time.
Yeah, it's really strange. And he later travelled to... Sorry, Matt, question?
Is his name... His name's Holmes. I missed that. His surname's Holmes?
He changes his name.
Oh, yeah, so when did he become...
I'm actually not 100% sure. Oh, no, sorry.
Is it because
right
of...
Right now.
As of
it's
now.
It's in the next sentence.
It's funny because I was thinking...
I was referring to him as Holmes.
He
but
sounds a little bit... Already the story made me think of that other doctor that Dave talked about a few weeks ago who went on to write the story of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah. Arthur Conan Doyle.
They were both in the olden days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both
born
doctors.
In the 19th century.
Yeah.
Both had something to do with someone with the surname Holmes.
Mm.
Any questions?
One solved murders, one committed them.
Mm.
All I'm asking is, please do go on.
Thank you.
Are they possibly the same person?
He later travelled to Philadelphia, where he got a position at a drugstore. And when he was working there, a boy died from taking medicine that was bought from the store. And he, because his name isn't Holmes yet, Herman, denied any involvement with the child's death and immediately left the city. And right before moving to Chicago, he decided to change his name to Henry Howard Holmes to avoid the possibility of his previous scam victims catching up and reporting him. So now he is Holmes. So I'm sorry I was referring to him as that before, but now, moving to Chicago, he's now Henry Howard Holmes.
The victims of his scams, who were
actually,
they?
Actually, his brother's
dead
name was Henry. He stole his brother's name.
That is right. That's a weird one.
Sorry, Matt, what were you saying?
Well, who were the victims of his scams?
The boy who died taking medicine. I think he'd been, there'd been some more insurance fraud.
Yeah, the cases. Cadavers, possibly this kid in New York City. So there's just a bunch of weird crimes attached to
his. So he's escaping the cops.
Well, he's not.
And the insurance companies, like, I imagine.
It doesn't seem like just yet he's being sought after by the police. He's just kind of like, I think maybe he would leave when people started to be a little suspicious of him. When he got that feeling, he'd bail. So now he's headed for Chicago, and he arrives in Chicago in August of 1886, and he came across Elizabeth Holton's drugstore at the northwest corner of South Wallace Avenue and West 63rd Street. She gave him a job, and he proved himself to be a hardworking employee, and they seemed to get along quite well. And after her husband died,
every death feels suspicious to me.
Yeah, someone dies, and you're like, oh no.
Well, he wasn't really part of the drugstore, so she was his employer. So I think he may have died of his natural causes. Anyway,
allegedly,
Holmes offers to buy the drugstore from her, and she agrees. She's like, yep, fine. But then she's never seen or heard from again.
Oh.
And whenever any regular customers asked Holmes about her whereabouts after she'd sold the drugstore to him, he'd say that she'd moved to California to be close to relatives. But she was never heard of again.
Oh, she must have really liked the quiet life of the relatives in California.
Yeah, and just...
Must have just spent her days at the beach.
Cut all ties from her life in Chicago.
Jeez, what a life, hey? Yeah. What a lucky lady.
Lucky that he came about and bought the drugstore.
Yeah, gave her the money to retire. He really is quite a citizen.
I wonder when he's going to turn. Yeah. It's obviously, at some point he becomes a bad guy, but bloody hell.
Well, for now, there's nothing but ticks on that
page.
So far, so good. So he'd arrived in Chicago in 1886, and in 1887, he married Myrta Belknap.
Jess, like, if you want us to believe this, you're going to have to, like, at least give us...
Her name was...
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Right, so he hadn't even yet divorced Clara.
Love ring.
He filed for divorce a few weeks after marrying Myrta, but the papers never went through, so he's technically married to both of them.
Oh, and if that's his biggest crime...
The crime of loving too much.
Jess, you're really trying to bring this great man down.
You're going to regret that so bad.
Am I really?
Oh, Jess, is that a threat?
Yeah. Whoa, who's the serial killer here?
So now, a couple of years later, he purchased an empty lot across the road from the drugstore, and he built a 3-story, block-long hotel building. And because of its enormous structure, local people dubbed it the Castle. And the building was 162 feet long and 50 feet wide. Right, so it's pretty big. It's a pretty big building, 3 stories. The ground floor of the castle contained Holmes' own relocated drugstore. He moved the drugstore across the road into a new location, and it had other shops in it. There was like a jewellery store and a couple of other little shops. I'm not really sure.
Did
exactly
he own those
were.
Or just sort of rent those out?
I mean, I think he rented them out. So he sort of rented out those spaces. And the upper 2 floors contained his personal office and a labyrinth of rooms with doorways that opened to brick walls.
Rooms with doorways. Okay, yeah, that bit.
Oddly angled hallways, stairways leading nowhere, doors that could only be opened from the outside, and a host of other strange and deceptive constructions.
Oh, so was it a hotel or not? Could you stay there?
Yes. It seems like it was more the case that...
it appears my room is a brick wall.
It seems like...
I'm afraid it's non-refundable.
He sort of had tenants rather than a lot of guests.
Right, okay, sure.
But yeah, it was a hotel, so you could stay there. Now, he was apparently constantly firing and hiring different workers during the construction of the castle, claiming that they were doing incompetent work. But his actual reason was to ensure that he was the only one to fully understand the design of the building.
Ah, well, that does make sense. If you have different builders.
Yeah, they only see part of it.
They never know the full plan.
They never know exactly what's going on.
I haven't felt this creeped out in a long time.
I'm glad we're recording this at night. So that's good. Now, during...
Oh, in a castle-shaped hotel room. I'm terrified.
Castle-shaped.
Yeah. It's quite a big hotel room.
Yeah. It's shaped like a castle.
Yeah, it's the castle-themed.
I'm in the dome right now. Our castle has a dome.
I'm in the moat.
Where are you, Dad?
Where are you, Dad? Did you say that? Where are you, Dad? That's where you said.
I went to say Dave.
Where are you, Dad? Matt? Like when you...
Where are you, Dad?
Dad.
I'm scared.
Dad.
I am Dad. In the broom closet. The castle broom closet,
we're in
though.
In the castle, and yeah, you chose the broom closet.
Oh.
Okay, now during the period of building construction in 1889, Holmes met and became close friends with a guy called Benjamin Peetzel.
Where like did pretzel. You research this?
It could be Pitzel.
It feels like
Pitzel.
You,
Pitzel.
The
Pitzel.
Letters have been scrambled on all these words that you're trying to
I'm
say.
Dyslexic. Anyway.
Pitzel is...
So it's P-I-T-E-Z-E-L. Pitzel.
It's like Pitzel.
Pitzel?
Everyone involved in
let's,
this case...
Let's decide how we want to pronounce it. Pretzel. Let's just call him Pretzel.
Right. Benjamin okay. Pretzel.
Benjamin Pretzel. He was a carpenter with a criminal past.
Can we call
past.
Him Peter Pretzel? That feels
no.
better.
We'll okay. just call him Pretzel.
All right, great.
He used Pretzel as his right-hand man for his criminal schemes.
So, and I don't think, Matt, did you hear that he's a builder with a dodgy past? Criminal past.
Oh, someone you might see on, like, A Current Affair or something.
Dodgy builder.
Yeah, he's definitely, like, they're chasing him down the street, like, why didn't you finish the job?
No comment.
Yeah.
No, yeah, which somehow makes you sound more guilty than if you said, I killed them all!
Exactly. So Pretzel comes up in this story quite a bit. So after the completion of the hotel, it was all built. He selected mostly female victims from among his employees.
Okay, right, sorry. I feel like there should have been a full stop there. After the hotel was completed, he chose mainly female victims from his employees. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Many of whom were required as a condition of employment to take out life insurance policies. Who do you reckon may have paid for those premiums, but also be the beneficiary?
Why would
any
you?
Ideas,
why would you
anybody?
Possibly do
any ideas?
That?
Is it Pretzel?
No. Next guess.
Is it
Myrtle Belknap?
It's Myrtle. No, it's Holmes.
Is it Gary Warnocky?
It's Gary Warnocky, Dave's uncle.
Dave's uncle. You had a name change.
Right. So he makes them take out. Life insurance policies. He pays the premium. He's like, I'll pay for your life insurance.
My new job has done the same thing. Should I be a bit worried?
Very interesting.
So some of these employees / victims, just as an idea, they were either locked in soundproof bedrooms fitted with gas lines that let him asphyxiate them at any time.
Asphyxiate, that sounds positive. That's what does that mean? That's
suffocate.
If you've got an issue, he'll asphyxiate it.
Nope. Just take away all the oxygen if you've got too much of it.
Can't spell asphyxiate without sphix. I was going to say fix.
Well, that would have made more sense. Sphix was fun.
Sphix is still fun. Okay. Some
you got a problem? I'll sphix it. That was his motto.
That's on the billboard for the hotel.
he's got a billboard and he looks creepy. He's like holding a knife.
Which is weird because he kills people with other means.
Yeah. It was a red herring to make you feel safe. Oh, he'll never gas me. He's a knife murderer. Oh, no! I can't breathe!
He'll never gas me. Oh, I'm glad you two are finding this so fun.
It's the only way to handle such a morbid topic.
It is. Other victims were locked in a huge soundproof bank vault near his office where they were left to suffocate.
Ooh, bank vault.
There's also a secret room.
Yeah, that was the worst part there. Oh,
they didn't take you to the bodies in the barrels? That's a very recent one.
Mm.
That was a bank vault as well.
Oh, of course. Of course it was.
There was also a secret room that was completely sealed by solid brick that could only be entered through a trap door in the ceiling. And Holmes would lock his victims in this room for days to die of hunger and thirst. That one seems almost the most humane. He even
really? I'd take the gas room for sure.
Would you?
You'd take like a week to die in the other one.
Oh. What was?
Gas.
You rather gas that would kill you in like 2 minutes, or the room where he leaves you to starve to death?
There's others. There's more coming if you want to choose at the end.
Can I pick life? I want to choose life.
Interesting
like
choice.
George Michael told me to.
He also, this is kind of interesting and super creepy. He also invented a unique alarm system and installed it to all the doors on the upper floor to alert him whenever anybody was walking around in the hotel.
Chubb security still use it to this day.
I'm not entirely sure how it worked. There wasn't a lot of information about his alarm system, but it seems like it was quite ahead of its time, obviously.
It's probably just all connected to one bell.
Yeah.
Everyone would be like, oh, every time I open a door, a bell rings.
Look, it may have been that simple, I don't know. But he was aware when people were moving around in the top floor.
Why did he want to be aware?
I don't know, in case, like...
They found one of the rooms.
Well, because he would be aware of who's where, obviously. And then if he heard movement and he was like, no, there shouldn't be anybody up there, then he may know that somebody's snooping around.
Ah, Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Raggy? The victims' bodies were put inside either a secret metal chute or a dummy elevator, which led to the basement, where some were meticulously dissected, stripped of flesh, crafted into skeleton models, then sold to medical schools.
So is he doing this for money, or is he or a combination of craziness and cash?
I think it's a bit of column A, a bit of column B. Right. I think it's for
it's just for the money.
No. You know what, though?
Just for the money, Dave. There's no way... He has no enjoyment of this. He's like, it's a job. Yeah. This is just a
no, but
it's
you
a
know
gig.
What? Like,
I gotta strip him of skin, get him down to the bones, and so look, you know, we all have to make ends meet.
I think it's the opposite. I think
I do a 50-hour week like every other man on this block.
I think we all dream about, you know, making money from our passion, and he gets to do that every day.
Wow! My God!
This has become too real for me.
If podcasting could be our full-time job, you know. It's like stripping a body.
Do you guys mind if I stop listening to Jess from now on?
Hey,
do you want me to I'll turn my voice up in your ears.
Thank you.
But I also have to listen to Jess. I have to listen to Jess every day.
Oh, man. This topic is fucked.
I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot, Cody.
Is it interesting fucked? Like,
no, I'm enjoying it.
No, it definitely is interesting, but I'm starting to think, like, why is this Cody guy so interested in it?
Because it's fascinating.
Why does he want us to talk about
because
it?
Because it's fascinating.
I'm starting.
Now he knows all how we think about it, and now he can use that against us when he brings us to his own hotel of mystery and death.
That's his
is
whole
that where,
plan.
That's where my mind's going anyway.
I'm starting to think that this H.H. Holmes guy might not be as nice a guy as I originally
there
thought
we
and
go.
Stated about 30 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm, there we go.
I'm starting to regret that statement completely.
Yes, good. To be honest... With a bit of hindsight, I think it's starting to sound a little foolish.
To have said that?
Oh, dear.
Oh, he did the pen lick. You're
he
fucked.
He licked his pen.
Okay, so he's making them into skeleton models, but if you think about it...
Oh, sorry. I thought he was doing... He's having like a fashion show, like a little skeleton catwalk with the models going down. I've heard of stick-thin models being...
but this is ridiculous.
Sorry about all that. Definitely worth stopping you mid-sentence.
Yeah, I appreciated that. But through the connections that he'd gained in medical school, he sold the skeletons and organs with little difficulty. No! That makes no sense! Why is he constantly turning up with another skeleton? Where did you get that organ from,
Guys,
Holmes?
I just found this one in the forest again.
You'll never believe it. Money, please.
You know what? This sounds like a real bloody brilliant time for small business.
Yeah,
and I think that's what they say today. Small business finds it so tough because there's all this red tape. Like if you try and sell an organ or a skeleton,
you're filling out forms for weeks.
People are going to be there asking, "Oh, whose organs were these?" Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Did they have work cover?
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to provide for my family. Honestly, I'm really PO'd right now.
So, just to answer this question, Jess, is it going to get worse before it gets better?
Yep.
Oh, no, Matt!
So, he also buried some of the bodies in lime pits for disposal, which, like, breaks down the bodies. And he also had two...
Oh, he could have sold those, an idiot.
He had two giant furnaces, which he used to incinerate some of the bodies or evidence, as well
How many bodies are there? Are you selling some, burying some, putting some in a chute, burning
some
others?
Some in giant furnaces.
And then no one's questioning this.
He also has pits of corrosive acid and bottles of various poisons, and even a stretching rack. Mm-hmm. So he's a psycho. Now, what of...
He's just starting to sound like a psycho. That stretching rack just put him over the edge.
Yeah, that's right. He just went to the next threshold.
Now, at one point, a young woman called Julia Smythe moved into the building. She was the wife of Ned Connor. So Ned and Julia have moved in.
Couple of normal names. Thank you, Jess.
Nice
Thank
people. I think, oh yeah, Ned was working at the pharmacy's jewellery counter, right? So like he was selling jewellery in one of the little shops in the building.
At some sort of counter.
At a counter of some kind. Okay. Now, Holmes began an affair with Julia Smythe. And after her husband Ned found out about the affair, he quit his job, he moved away, he left Julia and her daughter Pearl behind, and Julia gained custody of their daughter Pearl.
Oh no, chose the wrong parents, Pearl.
Remained at the hotel, continuing her affair with Holmes.
Say what you like about this guy, but he bloody bet a few women, didn't he?
Yeah, his third wife?
He's still currently married.
Twice.
Twice, but living with one of them.
Oh, so still. That's when you say he continued the affair. He continued his affair.
His affair.
Right.
Okay. So in 1891, Julia told him that she was pregnant with his baby and demanded marriage. And he agreed to marry her, but told her they could not have a child. He then suggested performing an abortion and she agreed.
Okay.
And they planned it for Christmas Eve, because that seems like a nice time to do it. But Holmes murdered Julia by overdosing her with chloroform and later killed Pearl as well. When confronted by a tenant in the building who questioned the whereabouts of Julia and her daughter, Holmes said that they'd left for Iowa to attend a family wedding. They never came back, but no questions asked, apparently.
Great wedding. They had a ball. Oh. They got married. He got married. It's one of the spur of the moment things.
This guy, like evil genius and stuff. I can't believe how many. Like he's making people fall in love with him and do like irrational things.
Yeah.
Like letting a small businessman. I mean, he was a doctor, but.
Well, he's wealthy. He must be pretty wealthy. So. Oh, and he's obviously he has to be quite charming, you know, like to get anywhere with all this.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Upload video content, organize your video library, and showcase your content on beautiful video pages. You can even sell access to your video library by adding a paywall to your content. Cha-ching!
You can help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI, which I use to write this next sentence, so check this out. Generate instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get short or long-form text. Squarespace AI... Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online.
Oh, Dave, if only it could also not just write it, but read it too.
And edit it.
Hey, sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses. Or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. Man, it's starting to sound like I'm obsessed with money.
And you are. So head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
After Christmas, so after Julia's gone to a wedding...
most people are like, wow, that's a weird time to get married.
Yeah, strange time, but I guess if everybody's already on holidays...
Plus, it's a little bit cheaper, I think, those kind of days.
That was the kind of small talk they made.
Yeah.
Oh, it must have been... Yeah, it was cheaper.
Probably cheaper.
Great value.
Yeah. So he hires a man named Charles Chappell to articulate Julia's skeleton. So basically turn her into one of the models. Skeleton.
Why does he have to hire someone to do that?
I don't know. Because I assume he was doing it himself. So he...
And is the other guy dodgy, or is this something he does non-dodgy?
I don't know. I don't know why he has this skill set.
Like, is he like a taxidermist for people and it's quite legal? Or is it something where it's
that's
like...
That's not a thing.
I'm also a serial killer.
But let's someone's got to be able to do it. I imagine, like, a lot of those skeletons now are probably not even real, are they?
No.
But back then, they would have all just been...
Real, I suppose, real, yeah.
Donated bodies. So someone must have had the skills to do it, right? Legally.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe this...
Yeah, they're from the university or this guy's the museum or something, yeah.
Or maybe he's just about to become crazy man number two.
Yeah. So he brings this guy, Charles Chappell, to the hotel. He introduces himself at this point as Henry Gordon, so it's another alias.
Who says Henry?
Holmes says, right. I'm Henry Gordon.
Chappell's going to die, I just realised.
No, but it's weird. No. I'm Henry Gordon, and his people saying in the hotel are like, no, you're not. Shut up. You're dead.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't. That's what I mean with his questions.
Is he still firing and hiring regularly? I mean, he's killing all his employees as well.
So there must be a pretty high turnover of staff. That's the thing. When people go missing, nobody asks any fucking questions.
Do you reckon he ever reads a resume or he just hires anyone?
Well, he had a thing for blonde women, so.
Jeez, I'm
creeping myself
bullet.
Out here.
Not only am I not blonde or a woman... I'm also alive well after he must have been dead. Phew.
Yeah. Woo. I'm also not blonde, so we're okay. But I could dye my hair blonde. Oh, God. Okay.
Wait, Jess, how lonely are you?
He seems charming.
He must be.
I think I could change him. I could be the one that does get away.
Maybe you could only kill every second weekend.
Yeah. Could just be a hobby. Anyway, so... He takes Henry Gordon now, takes Charles Chappell, shows him the body, and after some discussion they agree that Chappell would put the arms in a bag and take them home to articulate them, and Holmes would do the rest of the body. It's so gross.
What?
So he hires him again a couple of times, takes him to the same room. Another time it's to process a body of a man. The third job was for a body of another woman. And after Chappell finished the third skeleton, Holmes refused to pay the money he owed him due to some financial trouble. And so Chappell then refused to give Holmes back the skeleton and kept it inside his home. And it was later used as like evidence, much, much later. So there's just like a full skeleton in... Charles Chappell's place.
But he's holding ransom.
Charles also sounds like he's asking very few questions.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
A third body in your basement? All right. As long as you can pay, right?
It's
yeah,
so
if you
weird,
just go
right?
past the two oversized furnaces.
Yeah. Don't take the second or third door on the left because that's just a brick wall.
The vat of acid. Was it acid? Lime.
Mm.
Etc. You know, so... and some of the other things you mentioned. I'm really just trying to show you that I've been paying attention.
Now, a little bit later, I think it was about 1892. He's on a business trip in Boston. I don't know what kind of business. Entrepreneuring/murdering. He meets a...
Where's his business card? Entrepreneur/murderer.
He met a railroad heiress. Her name was Minnie Williams. And he introduced himself to her as Henry Gordon. So he's just got different names all the time. They started dating and then entered into a relationship. And although Holmes had to return to Chicago, he kept in touch with Minnie and sent her love letters. He's married also still at the same time. In February of 1893, she moved to Chicago and she contacted him. And he offered her a job at the hotel as his personal stenographer. And she accepted. So now she's working for him. And they rekindle their relationship. And then he was able to persuade Minnie to transfer the deed to her property in Fort Worth, Texas, to a man named Alexander Bond. Who do we think Alexander Bond is? Another alias for Holmes, correct?
What, and who does she think Alexander Bond is?
Who knows?
And he is such... How convincing is this guy?
He must be...
They haven't even known each other long, and he's
is
like...
Is there photos of this guy? Is he really good looking?
He's pretty good looking. Quite a mustache.
I don't think I want to see him.
No, you don't. But no, he doesn't look that murdery, though. You know how, like, Charles Manson looks fucking murdery? Mm. This guy sort of just looks like a normal person. But anyway,
but a lot of the really successful ones do. They're, like,
Well, that's like, how, I suppose that's how you get away with it.
They like go to their kids' soccer practice and like, yeah. they're the coach and stuff like that.
They're just normal
like,
people.
They're really normal.
My kid's soccer coach?
Billy!
Not Billy!
Right, so in April of 1893, so only a few months later, she did sign the bond, the property over to Alexander Bond. And then Holmes proposed to Williams. So he asked...
Next to the furnace.
He asked her to marry him. He's already married twice and killed off a mistress, but he's going to get married again.
He got down on one knee behind her and then someone pushed her.
So he proposes and then he says... Hey, why don't you invite your sister, Annie, to come visit? So Annie Williams comes and visits them in Chicago, and they get along quite well. Holmes and his soon-to-be sister-in-law, they get along well. He gives her a tour of the hotel.
Great, maybe this he's finally recovered. He's going to go good.
Now, while working in his office one day, Holmes asked Annie to go inside his office vault to get a file for him. While she was inside the vault, Holmes locked her inside and turned on the gas line that led to the vault, killing her. About the same time, Minnie Williams also vanished.
But we're not sure what happened to Minnie.
No, but she probably just went to a wedding.
Oh, thank God.
In Ohio.
Yeah, she went and got married without him.
So he didn't even bother giving a story for her.
She just vanished. But well, we don't know.
But did Alexander Bond get the deed?
Yep.
Oh.
And not long after this, Holmes left Chicago. Now, where or where could he possibly go?
To Fort Worth.
Fort Worth, Texas, where he had inherited property.
Oh, that's convenient.
So convenient. There he sought to construct another castle, another hotel, along the lines of his Chicago one. But he abandoned this project, not really sure why, and he sort of continued to move throughout the United States and Canada. He moved around a fair bit. Another interesting fun point, he married... Georgiana Yoke in 1894 in Denver, Colorado. So now he's got three wives.
Three wives and two dead mistresses.
Two dead mistresses. He's a busy man. Now, in July of 1894, he was arrested and briefly incarcerated for the first time for a horse swindle that ended in St. Louis.
Well, there's one crime that's going to bring down the greatest serial killer of all time. It's horse swindle.
Horse swindling.
I've stood idly by so far. Right, fair enough. You've killed and dismembered your wives and their daughters. Fine. But horse swindling? I draw the line!
An innocent horse.
Swindled again.
Right. Too soon.
Oh, and that's it, idly by. Watch an innocent horse get swindled on the main street of Fort Worth. Not in this town, Sunny Jim. Or whatever you're calling yourself this week.
No, that's right. I'm calling myself Sunny Jim.
All right. You're under arrest.
Sunny Jim. So for all that he got arrested for was horse swindle. Now, he was bailed out, but while he was in jail...
The only thing is he probably didn't even do that.
So, yeah, probably. While in jail, he struck up a conversation with a convicted train robber named Marion Hedgepeth.
Oh, no. Is it a woman?
No.
Oh, it's a Marion man.
Marion. Yeah, good point.
No, this is fun. That's John Wayne's real name.
Marion.
It's Marion.
No, yeah, you'd change it to John, wouldn't you?
John Wayne? One of the like biggest
Marion Wayne?
Tough guys of the 20th century? Marion.
Anyway, so Marion's in prison serving a 25-year sentence. Now, Holmes starts chatting to him because he's concocted a plan to swindle an insurance company out of $10,000 by taking out a policy on himself and then faking his death.
So who's faking their death?
Holmes. This is an idea Holmes has had.
Cool.
And he's speaking to Hedgepeth, and he promises him a $500 commission in exchange for the name of a lawyer who could be trusted, like a dodgy lawyer. Surely, you're a crook, you're going to know a dodgy lawyer, and if you tell me the lawyer's name, I'll give you $500 when I pull off this $10,000 insurance heist. Right? So, Holmes is directed to a young attorney named Jephthah Howe.
Come on, Jess.
Seriously, I coughed these names.
Jephthah. How do you spell Jephthah?
J-E-P-T-H-A.
Jephthah. Oh, come on.
Jephthah. Okay. Now, Jephthah...
She's treating us like absolute mugs, Dave.
I feel like a bloody idiot.
Jephthah. Jephthah thought Holmes's plan was brilliant. He's like, that's a great idea.
Of course he bloody did. He's Jephthah.
Unfortunately, though, Holmes's plan to fake his own death failed when the insurance company became suspicious and refused to pay out. So he didn't press the claim. Instead, he concocted a similar plan.
When he walked in and tried to claim it, they're like,
hello.
I'm suspicious of something. Something feels weird about that you're collecting your...
Hello, I'm dead. Money, please.
Money, please.
Hashtag I'm dead, money, please. I'm really forcing the hashtag today, I'm sorry. Anyway, so it didn't work for him, but instead he's like, okay, well, we'll do a similar plan, but this time we'll use my good buddy, Pretzel.
Where's Pretzel been all this time?
He's been around. He's hanging out. So Pretzel agreed to fake his own death so that he and his wife could collect on the $10,000 life insurance policy, which she was to split with Holmes and the attorney, Jephthah. Right, so they're going to fake his death, and then everybody splits the money. It's a lot of money back then, too. Like, that's a huge amount of cash.
Well, so it's like $1 million life insurance. Sweet, it's plenty of money for everyone.
Yeah, and so everybody's going to really make a good living from it.
Oh, I feel like that Holmes is going to swindle this in his favor somehow.
Do you reckon?
Yep.
So the scheme, which was to take place in Philadelphia, was that Pretzel would set himself up as an inventor under the name B.F. Perry, and then be killed and disfigured in a lab explosion. And Holmes was going to find an appropriate cadaver to play the role of Pretzel. Right?
So he's going to...
You know who's... I reckon I'd use Pretzels. And I bet you... What do you reckon? Is there any more appropriate cadaver...
For Pretzel?
For Pretzel than Pretzel?
You're spot on. He murdered Pretzel.
Yes.
But I don't understand. Did he? They created a fake identity as well.
They created a fake identity instead of.
Yeah, but hold on.
Hello, I'm an inventor.
If you're going to invent a fake identity, why does it have to be you? You could just invent this identity, then get the body, and then just call it. Yeah, that body. That was David Jones. Can we have the insurance we? Out on David Jones.
I guess they needed to see him alive for some reason, but yeah, I kind of agree with you there, Dave.
Like I said at the beginning, there are a lot of questions right, a in lot this of questions. Story.
Sorry. Anyway, so...
I don't understand
was
it
Was Matt
either.
Right? What happened in the lab explosion?
He, instead of going and finding a body and disfiguring, he's like, I'm just going to kill Pretzel instead. So he did. He murdered him. He knocked him unconscious.
He said to Pretzel, there's the body. And Pretzel's like, where? And he's like, there. And he's pointing at him and then he hit him over the head.
That's chilling.
Yeah. He knocked him unconscious with chloroform and then set his body on fire.
Oh, no. That is awful.
You've got to stop trying to give yourself a catchphrase there, buddy. No. You did it one time and it was funny. Let it go.
You guys have been saying it off mic all night.
Just really no energy there.
But so, just to recap, chloroform, he's not dead from the chloroform.
He's dead from being set on fire.
Oh, that is really awful.
And so then Holmes proceeds to collect the insurance payout on the basis of the genuine body of his friend Pretzel.
Oh, look, there it is.
But Holmes then went on to manipulate Pretzel's unsuspecting wife into allowing three of her five children,
Alice,
Nellie, and Howard, to be in his custody. And the eldest child and the baby remained with Mrs. Pretzel, who doesn't know her husband is dead.
Where do they think Pretzel is?
Yeah, hiding in London. He's told them they're hiding in London, and then he and the three Pretzel children travel through northern United States and into Canada, and simultaneously he's escorting Mrs. Pretzel along a parallel route, all while using various aliases and lying to Mrs. Pretzel concerning her husband's death. So he's saying he's just he's in hiding in London, and we're gonna meet up with him at some point.
But they're traveling together? No.
No.
Parallel route.
He's like sending her one way, and he's going a different way. With three of her children. I don't... Exactly. It doesn't make any sense why this is happening. All the while still maintaining whichever wife he's living with now. I don't even remember which one it is.
Oh, so the wife has just adopted these three kids with him?
No! She's got no idea about the three kids.
Oh, she's back home.
She's back home!
Why is she not worthy of death? Why? It's maybe so weird that he's... Like, he's falling... Like, so, yeah, like maybe that's just real love. Oh, so the other one... Yeah, I didn't even consider that. I thought he was actually falling in love, but he's...
No, I think that he's a manipulative bastard.
Oh, well, I mean, well, you don't marry someone just for... Oh, no. You got to marry for love, whatever your name is now.
Yeah, none of us know.
HH.
HH. So that's terrifying. So even, like, it's really strange, but in Detroit, just prior to entering Canada... Mrs. Pretzel is only a few blocks away from where he's also staying with three of her children. She doesn't know where her children are, but at one point they were only a matter of blocks away from each other.
Guys, what are we up to with the body count?
We're really not sure, to be honest.
I reckon it's past all other episodes combined.
What have you got? Let's start counting now. Dave, give me a number.
Will there be a body count at the end? Like a suspected number of victims?
Oh, yeah.
And I, Matt, will take a guess each, right?
Okay, yeah, that'd be really fun. Right. Although, again...
that will be really fun.
It's a bit undisputed. It's a bit disputed.
I am undisputed.
Now, Holmes's murder spree finally ended when he was arrested in Boston on November 17 in 1894.
Pig swindling.
After being...
on his daddy's farm.
After being tracked there from Philadelphia by the Pinkertons. Have you ever heard of the Pinkertons?
It's a family of pigs.
I looked this up. This is kind of interesting, actually.
No, I don't know them.
Pinkerton, founded as the Pinkerton National Detective Agency, is a private security guard and detective agency established in the United States by Alan Pinkerton in 1850. And Pinkerton became famous when he claimed to have foiled a plot to assassinate President-elect Abraham Lincoln, who later hired Pinkerton agents for his personal security during the Civil War. So they're like this like super cool Pinkerton detective agency.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so
there's a Weezer album named Pinkerton.
Maybe that's where it's from.
I reckon it might be.
So the police had been suspicious of Holmes ever since his former cellmate, Marion, started talking. Right, so he was sort of talking to the police about this guy.
Right, and was he bragging to Marion about his murders?
Yeah, no, but Marion kind of dobbed on him because he never paid him the $500 that he promised him.
Ah, see, no honour among thieves.
Yeah, so he didn't. He never paid up. So as payback, Marion shared the information with the police about, like, oh, he's a dodgy, this dodgy insurance claim that he's going to make. So they're kind of a little bit suspicious of him anyway. Now, while they initially had very little evidence to convict him with, they did have his outstanding warrant for stealing a horse in Texas. So they arrest him on that basis. And he was terrified of being sent back to Texas, apparently, where the punishment would be rough and ready. And he confessed to the insurance scam. Rough and ready is apparently what he said. I don't really know. But he didn't want to go back to Texas because he was going to be punished. So he confessed to the insurance scam, but not the murder of Pretzel. He claimed that he'd gotten a body from a doctor in New York who shipped it to Philadelphia, where he was living at the time.
That's a much more believable story.
And using his medical knowledge to fit the body into a trunk. And he actually nearly got away with that story. But then the inspector remembered that when the body was first discovered, it was in full rigor mortis, meaning the person had died recently. So the inspector asked what technique Holmes had learned to stiffen a body after rigor mortis had been broken. And he didn't have the answer for it, so, like, the game was up.
They got him!
How clever is that, though? They're like, oh, really? Well, he'd been shipped here. Well, I didn't know you could put a body back into rigor mortis when it's out of rigor mortis. Mic drop.
Tism had an album called De Rigor Mortis.
There you go. Well, maybe he was a Tism fan.
Was that named after Pinkerton?
Probably. Right. So then the police began interviewing the employees at the castle, like the hotel back in Chicago.
Who was left.
Yeah. Now the caretaker was a guy called Pat Quinlan. He informed police that he was never allowed to clean the second floor. So they're like, well, this seems dodgy. So they begin this thorough investigation over the course of a month, and they uncover all of the torture chambers and secret passageways on the upper floor. Inside a large stove on the third floor, they found a piece of gold chain, women's hair, and a woman's shoe. Now, suspecting that the chain belonged to Minnie Williams...
That was a terrible meal.
No nutritional value whatsoever.
Oh, God.
So they think this might belong to Minnie. So they took it to a local jeweler who had sold jewellery to Minnie in the past, and he confirmed that it was hers. So she died in an oven of some kind. Ugh.
Then the police... he was torturing them as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't...
There was also a room, a hanging room, where he would just hang them.
Oh, that's just where we hung out in between murders.
The hanging room. I mentioned the hanging room in 5.
If you say yes to that offer, you're an idiot.
Yeah, a massive idiot. The police, they later looked inside Holmes's office vault and found several scratch marks and marks of what appeared to be a woman's shoe. He later stated in his confession that the shoe print in the vault came from Annie Williams during her violent struggle before she died. When the police finished on the upper floors, they moved their investigation down into the basement, and there they found a pile of human bones mixed with animal bones, a dissection table covered with dry blood, and a pile of bloody women's clothes. Bloody women's clothes. Everywhere. They leave them everywhere.
They leave them all over the bloody basement.
So he wasn't even clean. It was just dry blood everywhere. He didn't even clean up after himself.
Kind of I love that that makes you... That makes it grosser than okay, if he was this cleaning.
This is like the time you had to have a whole new crematorium built for you because you just didn't like the idea of anybody else's dust being mixed up in yours.
It still freaks me out.
Okay, well, what freaks me out is he didn't clean up the blood on the dissection
yeah,
table.
Okay.
Horses for courses. We all have our thing.
If you can say one thing about Jess is that she likes her serial killers clean.
I do. I like them tidy. Anyway. Now, the investigators dug up the lime pits and found skeletal remains of Holmes's victims. The lime had turned most of the remains into dust, but they identified two strands of hair, one brown and one fair, in two spots in the clay, and the strands matched the respective hair colours of Minnie and Annie Williams. So they sort of found their bodies. Investigators also found a pile of lime with female footprint on it. They suspected that the footprint came from Minnie, and they also looked inside the acid pit and found several bones at the bottom. One part of the basement, investigators unearthed several bones belonging to a child estimated to be 6 to 8 years old, who maybe we can assume is Pearl, Julia's daughter. Matt's just getting so sad.
This is fucked.
They also found a dress that they suspected had belonged to Julia, and they showed it to her former husband, and he confirmed it was hers. So it's pretty fucked. Three firemen later explored a nearby tunnel that led from the basement to the street, and the tunnel ended in a hollow-sounding wall, and after the firemen had torn it down, a plumber lit a match just to be able to see, so he lit a match for light.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
And accidentally caused an explosion powerful enough to shake the whole building.
Oh, what happened to the firemen and the plumber?
Well, several of the men were injured and had to be taken to hospital, but I don't think anybody died. They were just injured. And afterwards, investigators found that the fumes that caused the explosion were coming from an oil tank hidden behind the wall. Right? And Holmes, like, he had no explanation for the oil tank. There's no reason for that, but the chemists who examined the oil stated that the fumes were strong enough to kill someone in less than a minute. So Holmes later stated that the bodies that were found in the basement were bought from a man who stole them from a local cemetery, but he could name neither the man nor the cemetery.
So what was he doing with that oil?
Nobody knows. There's no explanation for it. And that's the problem. He changed his story so often, and there's like... And he was known for lying, that there's no solid answers for some of these questions.
A liar too. Well.
Well, that's a big surprise.
It over the edge, matey.
Oh, okay, we're towards the end now, if that makes you feel any better.
Hopefully he's not going to kill again from now, right?
No, he's done.
I'm pretty glad that he... I thought you when you said at the start that it was a sad end, was he was going to die a happy old man in a nursing home, you know, with... Three wives.
Three beautiful wives.
And two of which are still alive, and a third just a bucket of bones, which he jerked off into every evening. You know, like real idyllic retirement, but...
Jerking off into a bucket of bones.
Yeah, that was a fuck thing to say. You've changed me today, Jess.
Today?
You did this to me. you made me do this.
So he's sitting in prison in Philadelphia now. He's confessed to the insurance scam, and there's all these different investigations happening into, you know, like, firstly the castle, but they're also looking into the Philadelphia police are trying to unravel the pretzel situation. In particular...
Unravel the pretzel.
In particular, they're trying to find these three children. That are missing that he had custody of, so Alice, Nellie, and Howard.
Oh, yeah, what happened to them?
There's a detective called Detective Geyer, and he was tasked with finding answers. And his quest for the children, much like the search for Holmes's castle in Chicago, received a lot of publicity. So, like, the story of him searching for these children got quite a bit of publicity. And his eventual discovery of their remains essentially sealed Holmes's fate, at least in the public mind. So it's kind of like, yeah, he's a bad guy because he found their remains.
Wait, that was... They'd already found his torture chamber.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So
that could have just...
That could have been anything.
He didn't know it was there.
I do have how the children were killed, but I might skip that.
Thank you.
Okay. There is one... No, okay, I'll leave it.
Let's just imagine the worst thing possible, and it's probably worse.
Yep, pretty much. So in October of 1895, Holmes was put on trial for the murder of Benjamin Pretzel and was found guilty and sentenced to death.
Oh, so he killed Pretzel as well?
Yeah, he did that ages ago, remember, for the insurance fraud. That's the insurance scam.
There's just so many deaths and so many weird names. Yeah. It's actually been very difficult to keep up.
It has been, I'm sorry.
He was convicted of that and sentenced to death.
Sentenced to death. By then, it was also evident that he had murdered the Pretzel children. And following his conviction, he confessed to 30 murders in Chicago and Toronto. Although some that he confessed to murdering were, in fact, still alive. So he said, like, oh, yeah, kill this person, kill this person, kill this person. So he's lying. He's, like, full of shit.
Wow.
So that's why at one point he confesses to about 27 murders. Then writers are about to hang him. He's like, I only killed two people. Bang, gone. And it doesn't make any sense. It's so strange.
But they did hang him.
They did hang him. But before that, he was paid $7,500, which today would be about $215,000, by the Hearst newspapers in exchange for his confession. But he gave various contradictory accounts of his life, initially claiming innocence and later that he was possessed by Satan. and his propensity for lying made it difficult for researchers to sort of get the truth. That's what I mean when I say there's lots of questions. We still don't have a lot of the answers because then nobody knows exactly what was happening. Now, while writing his confessions in prison, Holmes mentioned how drastically his facial appearance had changed since his imprisonment. He described his new grim appearance as gruesome and taking a satanical cast, and wrote that he was now convinced that after everything he'd done, he was beginning to resemble the devil. Isn't that weird? There's actually a quote from him I got down here, where he says, I was born with the devil in me. I could not help the fact that I was a murderer, no more than a poet can help the inspiration to sing. I was born with the evil one standing...
He's thinking singer.
Oh, he's confused poet singer right there.
And then also, like, I mean, nobody really loves poetry, but it's not murder. He said, I was born with the evil one standing as my sponsor beside the bed where I was ushered into the world, and he has been with me ever since. Creepy. On May 7th, 1896, Holmes was hanged at the Philadelphia County Prison for the murder of Benjamin Pretzel. Until the moment of his death, Holmes remained calm and amiable, showing very few signs of fear. Despite this, he asked for his coffin to be contained in cement and buried 10 feet deep because he was concerned grave robbers would steal his body and use it for dissection.
Oh, and he knows how fucked up that is.
Exactly. What a hypocrite. He's like, no, don't do anything weird to my body.
That is strange. If he was going to say, because I'm afraid that the devil in me will, like, bring me back to life and I'll kill again, then I'll be like, oh, good on you, mate.
But no, it's just like, oh, don't touch my body, yuck.
That's gross.
I don't know if this will make you feel better or not. I'm not sure if this is good. Matt's been very quiet. I feel like I need to give Matt a big hug later. But,
look, this guy's mate, I just wish he was still alive so I could...
kick him in the nuts?
Just have a stern word to him.
Oh.
And tell him it's not on, buddy.
Cut it out.
Buster, this is no good. You know, you're not making any friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, not long term. Are you... Where do you want me to go? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll sign this. All right. Make it out to HH. Good.
No worries.
And, yeah. No worries. You want my... Yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about? Really, mate, you are... You're an interesting guy, and I think I misjudged you. Yeah, it's probably good.
It's probably best that he's dead. Yep. This is kind of weird. Holmes, his neck didn't snap when they hung him. Instead, he was strangled to death, twitching for over 15 minutes before being pronounced dead 20 minutes after the trap had been sprung.
Well, couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
So weird. Very weird. I do have some
fun facts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say fun.
Yeah. I want to. I'm really looking forward to your spin on making the end of this fun.
I just meant like a kind of wrap up. Have I? Is this too fucked?
No, I've enjoyed myself a lot. I watch. You bloody watch Law and Order SVU, and it's worse than this. It's all right.
Matt.
You don't watch Law and Order Special. Matt won't
look me in the eye anymore. Maddie, it's not me. I'm just telling a story. It's just a human psyche.
Remember, it's made up. Pretzel? You really think that one's called Pretzel?
Come on.
No, good point.
Clara Lovering?
Come on. None of these.
Murder. Myrta Belknap? Come on.
Belknap.
Pull on your bloody leg.
All right. All right. This has made me feel all the emotions. Mainly angry and sad, but...
But all of them.
All of them.
But remember
all
that time I laughed
two.
For a solid minute?
That was pretty good. Jeez, it started out bright.
Didn't it?
My life's going to feel like there were two parts.
Aww.
Before and after this episode.
Well, you probably felt that way after the cremation episode
yeah,
as well.
I felt a bit sad about that
We've
episode.
Recovered since then.
And now it's one of my favourites. On March 7th in 1914, this is quite a while later, the Chicago Tribune reported that with the death of Pat Quinlan, who was the former caretaker of the murder castle.
I'm just imagining him like as a butler. Was he a butler?
I don't know. Yeah, let's say yes. Cool. He's just kind of a caretaker. He sort of, I don't know, watered the pot plants. So once he had died, they sort of said that the mysteries of Holmes's castle would remain unexplained because he was sort of gone. He was like that last connection. But sadly, Quinlan had committed suicide by taking strychnine, and his body was found in his bedroom with a note that read, "I couldn't sleep." Quinlan's surviving relatives claimed that he had been haunted for several months and was suffering from hallucinations. Mm. I'm imagining for him, for some reason, still living there, but he wouldn't have been, so that didn't make any sense in my head. But, yeah, so it was very, very rough on him.
Fun fact number one right there.
Somebody killed themselves. Fun
because
fact.
They couldn't sleep.
Because of the haunting, awful things they'd seen.
Oh no!
Yeah, so he was aware.
I don't think he was. No.
Oh man,
that would be just as bad, though. Wouldn't it?
But obviously, once the story came out, he would have been aware. And then
yeah, obviously,
a lot of things now make sense.
Yeah, totally.
When he asked me to grease the death machine,
I thought it was a euphemism.
Yeah, so it's pretty fucked. Now, what's interesting is the murder castle was mysteriously gutted by fire in August of 1895.
Ooh. Ooh, the year after he died.
Yeah. Now, according to a newspaper clipping from the New York Times, two men were seen entering the back of the castle between about 8 and 9 p.m. About half an hour later, they were seen exiting the building and running away, and several explosions happened and the castle went up in flames.
Still unexplained.
Yeah, so a bit interesting.
So there'd be, I imagine there are two options there. One of them is that they fucking hated it, that freaked them out, and they just wanted to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was that they were somehow involved, right?
Well, that was exactly what people thought. Some people sort of believed that they'd broken into the castle and started the fire in order to destroy any remaining evidence that the police hadn't discovered yet. And other people believed that some outraged citizens started the fire to prevent the castle from becoming a future tourist attraction.
Oh, both make sense.
Yeah. Mm. So it was gutted. The building survived, but like everything inside was fine, and it remained in use until it was torn down in 1938.
What city was this? Is in Chicago?
Chicago. There's a few.
What I know about Chicago.
The Windy City.
Windy City, Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey, Kill Hotel.
Top five.
That's what you need to know. Everything you need to know about Chicago.
Oh, and
O'Hare International Airport.
One of the big porn guys. What's the big porn guy?
Ron Jeremy.
No, like. Playboy guy.
Oh, Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner. I think the
big
Playboy
porn guy.
I think
you couldn't think of Playboy, but you could think of big porn guy.
Yeah, I could think of a vague description.
Playboy.
What do you think about Playboy?
That's from Chicago. I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure that's in Los Angeles. I mean, California.
Yeah, they moved there in the 80s or something.
You full of shit?
No, I watched a documentary about it.
Oh, cool.
The housemates of what was that show about his girlfriends?
Was it the Real Housewives of Hugh
Hefner? Yeah, what was that called?
Yeah, it was a great show.
It wasn't that. It was on an aeroplane, I think. It was like just one of those really sort of dry stock footage documentaries that they must put together for no money.
So good.
I think Chicago also has O'Hare International Airport, which is the world's busiest airport.
Is it really?
Because it's the second biggest city. Oh, it's also second city.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Improv.
Well, that kind of ties in nicely to what I was about to say, because there's a few different representations of H.H. Holmes in various media. Right. So, for example, the Baltimore Rock Opera Society produced and performed a full-length original rock opera based on Holmes, titled Murder Castle. in May 2013. That's pretty good.
Oh, my two favourite things, murder and musical theatre.
No. Rock opera. Even better.
Oh, no.
There was an author called Anthony Boucher, and he used H.H. Holmes as a pen name during the 1940s for murder mysteries and magazine reviews. Which is kind of interesting, uses as a pen name. In the fifth season of American Horror Story, which aired last year, 2015, it predominantly takes place in a hotel and features a character named James March, who is said to be modelled after Holmes. So, like, they used his story as a plot for the series of American Horror Story. And
my housemates watch that and often don't sleep at night.
Yeah, I don't watch it. I don't like scary movies. I probably won't sleep tonight. Now, there's actually...
All right, I forgive you.
There's actually a film being made called Devil in the White City. There's a book written called Devil in the White City. They're making the film. It's going to be directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
Really? He's going to be Holmes?
He's going to be Holmes.
Wow. He'll probably do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Is that in production?
Like, I think, do you know, so. The updates on that? Well, like, it's I saw articles about it very recently, so I think it's kind of in the next few years.
And we'll keep an eye out for it, because you heard it here first, guys. What's it called? Devil
in the White City. And also, on the Wikipedia page for H.H. Holmes, it also mentions that he's the topic in a few podcasts. So I think...
Oh, so we're cashing in.
I think we now need to somehow get
a Wikipedia page.
We need to edit that Wikipedia page and be like, he's also on episode 36. Are we up to 36?
It's one of my dreams. Because I love Wikipedia. I love Wikipedia so much. It's one of my dreams to one day have a page.
Okay.
Like, oh man, it's because I love it.
As far as
did you know that you exist?
Achievable dreams. I reckon that's one you could just knock up yourself.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
But it gets taken. Now I would never, because I respect Wikipedia so much. I would never do that. I'd like to earn my page.
Okay, that gentleman was my report on H.H. Holmes.
Wow, that was quite the journey. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, and just to tie it all together. So he admitted to like about 30 murders and then took it back. They think it may have actually been closer to 200. I just wanted to look 200. At that space.
200.
They suspect some say 100, some say 150. Up to 200 is sort of the guess. But again, no official confirmations because the bodies were just in bits.
And you know how populations work, where you wipe out 200 people, like the amount of potential people who'd be alive now, a couple hundred years later. He basically took away. That he probably did the world a lot of favours because, you know, overpopulation, that sort of stuff.
You have really done a 180.
Look, I'm just saying, I'm just looking for a silver lining here.
Silver knife into your guts.
Yeah.
Imagine being Leonardo DiCaprio. He's going to have to, like, isn't he one of those actors who really does the research?
A method actor.
Embodies him. I don't know if he's method, but but he definitely, you'd have to research a lot. Oh, and just to be that guy, and they say... Being a good actor, as you would know, Jess, you have to find something in the guy, in the character to...
Connect with.
Don't you?
I don't know. You've seen my acting.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Make me feel like murdering a bunch of people on my own.
My comedy will make you want to go on a killing spree. Anyway, let's wrap it up and go home to our families if they're so still there. Fucked.
Well, thanks for listening. Let's do another shout out to our favourite serial killer fan... Cody,
please be cool.
Yeah, be okay in your life, Cody. But no, great topic, because it is fascinating.
I
bet you he found it because of that movie.
Oh, maybe. Who knows how Cody found it? Cody probably knows how he found it.
When I come across, I'd heard of the murder hotel man before.
Yeah, that's impressive. And so had my friend when I was mentioning last night that I was doing this report.
Because I also understand the fascination. I get a bit...
I love it.
I read into these things, but then I do it alone at night, and I think, I wish I hadn't read that before bed.
Yeah.
So it's fun to joke about it with friends, and hopefully I'll drive home, forget about it, and sleep all night.
Is it fun to do in a big, dark, empty warehouse?
Oh, no.
Can you guys walk me to my car?
Yes, because it's just out the front. See it from the door. Thank God.
It's parked next to your car. We'll be okay.
Well, thanks so much for listening, guys. If you too would like to... have us talk about your favourite serial killer. Don't forget that you can tweet in at DoGoOnPod or on Facebook or email. We're getting a lot of lovely emails. I'd like to do a big shout out to Fergal in Ireland, who's been doing it a bit tough lately and has been finding a lot of fun in our podcast, which was one of the nicest emails we've ever read, right, guys?
Yeah, it was the best. Sweet. Thanks, Fergal.
So thank you so much for your email, Fergal.
And you can like us on Facebook as well, and Twitter. And
we
all
try
that
to
jazz.
Do a couple of posts every week and always enjoy getting into a
yeah, so there's always like
little polite chat with the...
There's always extra little in... No, there it is. There's always little extra in-jokes about that week's episodes and stuff like that, and little maybe callbacks to stuff that you'll get if you've listened to most of the show. So
check that out.
Thank you very, very much, guys. But until next week, take care and goodbye.
Bye.
Waiters.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.